In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Maybe like some of you, when we just want to sit around and veg, one of the things that we'll watch at home are the fix-up shows. You're seeing those, there's several of them, but the idea is people get a house and restore it. Sometimes the format is the people don't know what they're getting, the people whose house it is, and they're surprised at the end where there's a great unveiling. Nevertheless, it's interesting, this idea of taking an existing house and rather than tearing it down, restoring it and making it into something that's newer and better and more attractive and more functional. But I have to tell you that when we're watching those fix-up shows, I can only take so many of them, and then I feel like I have to, like, you know, cleanse my brain with professional wrestling or something, because after a while they're all the same. You can get tired of those fix-up shows, but it's probably better than watching a lot of the trash that's on TV. And I mention this idea of fix-up shows because we humans, we are fixer-uppers. All of us are in need of restoration. And that is why, for the past 2 weeks, as we prepare for the Feast of Christmas or the Feast of Nativity, that's why we've had gospel readings about restoration. Last week, the blind man, today, this woman who was bent over for 18 years, and Jesus heals them both, makes them whole again, makes them restored. Because we have these gospel readings right before Christmas because Christmas is the beginning of our restoration, the restoration of our humanity. The truth is that apart from Jesus Christ, all fallen human beings, all of us without exception, are not fully human. We would say we are subhuman, and that's harsh but true. And if we think about our own fallen nature, we can define it in lots of ways, but we know that more often than we'd like to, certainly we tend towards selfishness, thinking about ourselves before others, greed, wanting more than we need, and pleasure-seeking, just doing something because it makes us feel good, regardless of whether or not there might actually be some value in what we're doing. And these, we have to be honest, these are really less than human types of behaviors. This is a behavior, our dog, may she rest in peace, our dog that we put down in 2013, these are behaviors that she exhibited. Because why? Because she was not a human. But there have been in the history of mankind two full humans. One is Adam before the fall, and the other is Jesus Christ. Fully human to save us. At Christmas, we very often think about Jesus becoming man, and then somehow we play a little game with ourselves where we then want to reduce him to our level. But that's not why Jesus became man, is so that we could reduce him to our level and make him just like one of us. He became man so that we could become like him. And so that we in our love for him, we in our joining ourselves with him through baptism and through communion, we living the life of the church so that we can become fully human. And so as full humans, then we tend towards what? Thinking of others before ourselves. Not being greedy, but being generous in our mercy, in our love, in our compassion, in our forgiveness. And instead of seeking pleasure, we seek joy. The joy of the kingdom, the joy of the knowledge of God, the joy that comes when we walk through life as Christians. Now, as we continue this discussion of restoration, I think all of us would have to admit that the secular celebration of Christmas, the societal celebration of Christmas, needs some restoration. And it would be very easy for us to be hyper-orthodox and say, well, that's why you shouldn't do anything associated with secular Christmas. When you're at the mall, just turn your face when you see Santa. Don't look at him. And let's just pretend that secular Christmas doesn't exist. But I think that's a bit unreasonable. And well, we could also just wring our hands and play the little transactional analysis game of ain't it awful. It's so horrible the way Christmas has become. But the truth is that Christianity is a religion of restoration. So just like those home shows, they don't tear down the old house, they do something with it. So I would submit that as you and I begin to celebrate the birth of our Lord, that we do some restoration with regard to the way that we think about Christmas. Because there are some elements of this secular celebration of Christmas that I think we can work with. Certainly this is a time of year for nostalgia and winsomeness, emotionality, and that's okay. I think a lot of people go through the year not feeling nostalgic or winsome, so it's good they do it at least once a year. But I think that what we do is with those emotions is we take them and we fulfill those emotions then in deciding that we're going to live in a transfigured way all year long. And that the tenderness of heart, sometimes the sad memories that come when we think about loved ones who have gone before us, we take those emotions and we use them as a way of living then as compassionate, merciful, loving human beings, loving Christians. So take those emotions and let them lead to a transfigured way of life all year long. Our contemporary celebration of Christmas encourages us to do good. And this is the time of year when people will put money in a kettle or volunteer someplace. And then, of course, there's the whole business of gift giving, and we're thinking about what to get for this person and what would they really appreciate, and we do it because we do love and care about people. Doing good is a healthy thing. But there's something that makes doing good even better, and that's a life of holiness, a life where our goal is not simply to do good, but our goal is to be joined to Jesus Christ. And to live in that glorious communion with Him. As someone I was talking to recently pointed out to me, what's better than virtue is holiness, and I like that. I like that a lot. So we take our pursuit of doing good and we make it even better. We restore it, if you will, by understanding that our real call is to live in communion with God, to know Him, to have that holiness that the church offers us. And then there are traditions. Well, we have the Sunday before Christmas dinner at my parents, and then the Christmas dinner at her parents, and then we go to Yayan Papu's the day after Christmas. We open our gifts first thing in the morning. We open our gifts after everybody's had breakfast. We don't take down our Christmas decorations until Theophany. We take them down the day after Christmas. Every family has their own traditions. That's cool. I like that. Society has Christmas traditions. Some of them are better than others, but we got that. Well, we take this natural longing that we humans have for tradition, and we do something even better with that, and that's what? We conform ourselves to the traditions of the church. So we know that the Christmas fast cranks up into high gear after December 12th, after the Feast of St. Spyridon. So we have those days left of the Christmas fast. We have the services, and because Christmas is on a Monday, there's an abundance of services that one can go to. There's a service Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then late at night, Sunday night, early Monday morning. So you can pick at least one of those and understand that the most important tradition that we have when we celebrate the birth of our Lord is to receive His body and blood. And so that's my very simple message this morning. It's about restoration. There is one who came to make us new, and that's Jesus Christ. He came to restore us. And he did it for the blind man during his earthly ministry. He did it for the woman of this morning's gospel reading. But he really came to restore all of creation, all of the universe, everything that you and I touch. And that includes the way we as Americans in 2017 celebrate Christmas. It is very easy for us to sit around and whine about the way that the world has corrupted Christmas. But I say this, why not just restore Christmas? At least restore it in our own homes, in our own lives. Jesus came to make all things new. And that's a fixer-upper right there. That's a fixer-upper show that never, ever grows old.